Okay, well, basically, Wilson has summarized what I'm going to say in this talk, and this is Nancy Petrie's area. She's really done a lot of work on gambling disorders and other non-substance disorders, so she's not here because of illness in the family, and so I'm going to present this presentation for her. So she basically has put together information that reviews in whether or not to include non-substance addictions as new diagnoses, and then to review the inclusion of pathological gambling with substance use disorders in that chapter, rather than leaving them where they were in DSM-IV for the impulse control disorders. So these various other ones, excluding gambling, include internet video gaming, sexual, eating, shopping, work, and exercise behaviors. So what she's done is she put together some considerations for deciding whether something really can be included as a new disorder in DSM-5. Is there a clinical need for the diagnosis? Is it really distinct from other disorders? Is there any potential harm by including it to other patient or non-patient groups? Is there a treatment possibility? Does it meet criteria for mental disorder, and what does that mean? So criteria for mental disorder mean there is a syndrome, a set of symptoms that cluster together. There's clinically significant distress or disability. It's not just the expected response to a given situation. Hopefully reflects an underlying psychobiological disturbance, not merely social deviance, validated with prognostic significance and other ways that we have a validating diagnostic criteria, and that there's some clinical utility to the term. It contributes to better assessment and or treatment. So Nancy's review of the literature showed that the best evidence was for internet gaming and addiction, and she has reviewed that with us, and basically at this point this consists of case reports, internet surveys, and some treatment descriptions that describe frequency, intensity, and duration, with symptoms explored that vary a lot from study to study that are similar to pathological gambling or substance use disorders, with various additional items included in the different studies. So there have been issues that can be raised with the samples in terms of their representativeness, response rates. There's very little information on this gambling disorder, the internet disorder, in anybody older than very young people. There's perhaps most importantly at this point is there's no consensus in the literature on what constitutes internet gaming addiction. So without that sort of consensus emerging in the field, it's a little hard to know what to make of the literature. So here's her review about whether internet gaming addiction aligns with considerations for new disorders. And as you can see from this table here at clinical need, there's a lot of variability culturally. Is it distinct from other disorders? It doesn't seem to be clear yet. Is there any potential harm by adding this disorder? Its inclusion might minimize other psychiatric disorders. Is there a potential for treatment? That's not clear either at this point. So there's a lot of areas in which the internet gaming addiction could be seen as meeting criteria for a disorder. It seems to be a syndrome. People can be very distressed, or others around them can be distressed, or there's some disability associated with it, but there's a lot more work that needs to be done with a better literature. So hopefully that literature will not be available in time for DSM-5, but this is an evolving process. Eventually there will be a DSM-6. There were disorders at this point that DSM-4 was introduced that weren't ready for prime time in terms of research evidence. And since then, in 1994, a lot of research evidence has been produced that supports their inclusion, and it seems that internet gaming addiction may be at a similar stage now for DSM-5. What about the other putative addictions? Well, in terms of sexual addiction, the evidence is even more minimal than it is for internet addiction, and plus there's a sexual disorders DSM-5 committee, so our group really hasn't been charged with addressing that. In terms of eating addiction, this could be related. There's some neuroimaging data that suggests that it may be, but that's very nonspecific. And there is an eating disorders committee associated with DSM-5, and this is really in their bailiwick. And then in terms of shopping or exercise or work addiction, maybe there's some people in this room that could make a good survey for work addiction. But in any case, there's not good evidence yet. So these all remain putative disorders until people really pull the evidence together. that can establish them as mental disorders in their own right. Now, the case is different for pathological gambling. Pathological gambling, first of all, is very highly comorbid with substance use disorders. High proportion of treatment-seeking pathological gamblers have a substance disorder, and vice versa. A lot of treatment-seeking substance abusers also are pathological gamblers. There are high rates of comorbidity in the U.S. and international general population surveys as well. There are some commonalities in the physiology of substance use disorders and gambling disorders. In particular, genetic studies, twin studies, have shown that there's shared genetic variance between these elements. There's commonalities in the treatment approaches in terms of behavioral treatments, psychosocial treatments. All of these are used for substance use disorders as well as gambling disorders. And pharmacological treatment, there's some commonalities as well. So the recommendations for DSM-5 are to move pathological gambling disorders from impulse disorders to substance use and related disorders section. There's been some discussion of changing the name from pathological to disordered gambling. And based on a fair amount of evidence, there's been some interest to reduce the threshold to 4 out of 9 criteria, also eliminating the legal criterion for this disorder as well. So in summary, summarizes what I've already said at this point, but definitely this is an area that is very open for research, and more studies definitely could be done of all of these putative addictive disorders, and it would really help the field if those studies could be done. Thank you.